City Limits is a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media, and is funded by generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation, Grossman St. Amour CPAs, National Grid, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
41,000 Syracuse residents were below the poverty line in 2016.
At its core, poverty is about pushing down instead of having an opportunity to go up.
It's, generally speaking, lack of access to opportunity.
This is City Limits, a poverty project.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Poverty in Syracuse has remained stubborn, but that's not without community efforts to ease some of the statistics. Last December, the Greater Syracuse Hope Initiative was awarded money from New York State to fight poverty and called for community partners to bring their ideas to the table. Around the same time, we here at WAER launched our City Limits project, focusing on pieces that examine poverty in Syracuse. I sat down with Hope's executive director, Osha Keaton, to reflect on the past year in our city. The way that we talk about poverty impacts the way that we react to it. Hope's director, Osha Keaton, realizes this. Back in October, Osha wrote an open letter to the Syracuse community about the P word and published it on Hope's Facebook page. She said it was her direct rebuttal to some of the articles that came out about the city after the census report was released.
It kind of caused a flurry of people to start once again viewing our community from a deficit lens instead of a lens of strength and opportunity. Data is important. I love data. I'm often crunching the numbers, but data doesn't tell the whole story.
The report had shown that the city had held steady in a lot of its poverty-related statistics.
And some may say, well, remaining constant is not a good thing or anything to celebrate, but I push back on that because as long as we are not sliding backwards, that means you have forces at work that are pushing up against the opposition, which is this case is poverty, and eventually we will make some headway.
But one area where Osha believes we as a city have made some headway can't be measured in the census. She says the narrative around poverty in Syracuse is changing.
A lot of the work that Greater Syracuse Hope is doing is trying to change hearts and trying to change minds. But more importantly, changing the narrative around this community and really pushing back on the negative views or negative connotations when people talk about the city of Syracuse and letting people know that there's a lot of great things happening here.
Things like the growth of Brady Farm on Syracuse's south side, in the middle of some of the city's most concentrated poverty. An urban farm is flourishing and employing those who live around it. We spoke with farm manager Jesse Lyons this past summer.
I guess it's just knowing, you know, some of the families and employees that we're able to create some type of stability for them so that they can find some other opportunities to move forward. So, you know, having even just some type of employment that's stable and flexible with the challenges that they're facing in life. You can't get that from a lot of employers. So knowing that we can kind of help them roll with the tide so they can just get some stability to get better housing or to get a better job after this, knowing that we're able to support them that way. You know, what we witnessed is the ability of community to come together and to use growing food. I don't want to say an act of rebellion, but it kind of is. It's a way of taking our power back in our community. It's a way of normal people being able to change the physical landscape of our neighborhoods. And we've changed what people expect can happen in our community. That's a really powerful thing to see that there's another way to be living, another way to be engaging with your neighbors, another way to be doing things and developing our neighborhoods. It just changes how people think that they can move forward.
Yeah. Projects such as the Brady Farm and other community developments are examples of what OSHA calls Syracuse's new, broader definition of collaboration.
So now you're starting to see nonprofits saying, well, how can we bring our business community into this conversation? And more importantly, how can we bring those most impacted to the table, and how can we amplify their experience and their voice and really honor the fact that they know firsthand and start viewing them as content experts?
She says there's a lot of innovative community work happening. We Rise Above the Streets is an example of that.
And I can't say enough good things about the work that Alamine is doing because of the fact that it is a community effort, because it's ran almost exclusively on volunteers and donations. And it's a beautiful thing to see.
WAER's Joe Lee went to a sandwich Saturday earlier this year and spoke with Alamine's wife, Nasira Muhammad.
The most important thing besides just feeding is change the mindset of the community, making people understand that the person that you see that's homeless is just like you. And once we change people's minds, then it'll start, maybe start in Syracuse. But when you start changing the minds of the people, then real change happens. Just watching the faces of the people that are helping, it's amazing the healing that it does for the people who help as well.
Sandwich Saturday continues to feed those in need. They also distribute hygiene products as well as hats and gloves to keep people warm through Syracuse's winter. Creative community responses such as the Sandwich Saturday initiative are what OSHA and her team at Greater Syracuse Hope were looking for when they called for community proposals.
What I had hoped to gain was a lot of innovative proposals, not just from the traditional players, but also community residents that said, you know what, I have an idea about how we could, address some of these issues.
Hope chose 11 proposals that highlight their focus areas of education, economy, housing, and health. They're developing a program that addresses the challenges of access to quality banking and another that focuses on financial literacy. She's also hoping to move forward with a program that deals with isolation.
A lot of times people don't realize the emotional aspect of poverty and how sometimes you can feel so isolated because you don't have transportation. You are out of the workforce because, as adults, most of the time we make friends at work. What does it look like for a person who's been out of the workforce for 10 years? That is a pilot that's seeking to pull people that are on the margins of our community in and say, listen, you have a space here and we want to hold this space for you. And so one more pilot that I want to highlight is a van share pool. And that's the concept that if community residents can show us a hire letter, we will try to provide them with transportation to work free of charge for, the first few months. And then once they get on their feet, we will charge them a fare.
WAER Scott Willis explored the issue of transportation and employment during the City Limits project and saw how the bus doesn't always match up with the shift of a worker or their job site. Employees needed an affordable way to get to work.
That's where a tiny nonprofit called Providence Services comes in. They provide transportation to work at a reduced rate for workers just trying to get ahead.
My name is Herman Williams. I stay at 103 Dyer Court. I work at Burn Dairy out there off of Fly Road. Without the service, I would have never had this job because I wasn't going to work there because I didn't have the transportation. Previous jobs I had, but I didn't have the means and the transportation to get there. So I would either call in or whatever, but the service that I got now with the Rise working back, I could be there on time. The sky's the limit for me right now.
And OSHA often gets the same response when asking about transportation and employment.
Because I hear so much of, wow, I just got this opportunity at UPS for the holidays, but I have no idea how I'm going to get there because the bus stops a mile or two outside of where I'm supposed to report to work. So if we could lessen that burden of transportation, the hopes would be that they will have a higher chance of not just attaining employment, but retaining it.
most developed pilot program that Greater Syracuse Hope has right now is their partnership with Onondaga County Coordinated Care Services and the Syracuse City School District. It's geared towards students who are transitioning, like if they're just entering middle school or just entering high school. And the name of the program is special.
And that is titled Let Me Be Great, hashtag 44. And the name from that is very near and dear to the hearts of the individuals that support Greater Syracuse Hope. One of my executive committee members, Rashida Caldwell, she suffered a tragedy. Her son was murdered. And I guess one of his catchphrases that he used to say a lot was, Mom, let me be great, when she kind of was riding him about, you know, doing certain things around the house. He's a good kid. So myself and a few other of the executive committee members asked if we could, you know, use that phrase to kind of memorialize all of the greatness that was her son. And she was kind enough to allow us to do so.
Let Me Be Great, hashtag 44, will provide students with a family advocate that will act as a liaison between them and their school. Another aspect of the program is a parental support group.
So the parents who children are enrolled in the program, they'll be able to speak with each other and really provide emotional support and peer modeling with each other. Because a lot of times if you have a child that has behavioral issues and then you have a lot of other things going on in the household, you kind of feel like, well, why is my child always acting out and why? And so then you'll be able to, you know, meet other parents who are experiencing a similar situation, and with the hopes that you guys would be able to kind of lean on each other for ideas and ways to navigate some of the systems.
There will also be an after-school portion for students that focuses on trauma services.
You know, a lot of the children that we're looking to serve, they do have early signs of post-traumatic stress syndrome. But in their case, it's not post because of all of the things that happen in the neighborhood, be it violence, the stress of poverty. And so, you know, all of that is stressful at the very least. And traumatic at the other end of the spectrum.
And those working in the schools see the stress and this trauma firsthand. As WAER's Chris Bolt reported for City Limits earlier this year, social workers like Kim Vargas in the city school districts are trying to better understand students' behaviors.
Even though it might look like banging on a desk or throwing a chair or something, it might look like aggression toward their peers, we have to stop and ask ourselves, you know, not what is the child doing, but why are they doing it? What skills does this child need to stop doing this? What has happened to this child or to this family to lead us to that point? And as you kind of peel back the layers to those questions, it can be a very complicated discussion.
And the complexities of the circumstances that surround poverty are not something OSHA and her colleagues are shying away from, because it's something, she says, that affects the whole community.
And some may say, well, yeah, because my tax dollars goes to Medicaid or food stamps, but it's deeper than that. It's the human condition. And so if people live in an area where they feel that they can't thrive and they can't move forward, they leave. And then we have a situation where our population numbers decrease, our tax base becomes eroded. And so it's a lot deeper than people realize.
But as the year comes to a close, OSHA feels sure that there has been progress and that there is still a lot of potential in Syracuse.
And I don't know if it's because our winter season is so long, but we are a spunky bunch here. I think innately, you know, we're fighters. And with all this new energy coming up, it's made room at the table for a new crop of community leaders. It's a movement as far as new ideas, new thoughts are coming to the table. And it's a diversity. Poverty is a complex issue with many points and intersections. So if you have a homogeneous group that just keeps looking at the problem, you never get the infusion of those new ideas.
change is slow, and OSHA sees that every day. She says there's still work to be done with creating more jobs in the city and curbing violence, especially among youth. But 2018 has brought some change, though it may not be measurable with census data. She says our narrative around poverty is changing, and the areas we as a city need to focus on are better defined. And there's a fresh, diverse crop of leaders looking at the issue. With this, OSHA thinks that 2019 will bring better access to jobs, more open and honest conversations about maternal death rates among women of color, and lower lead poisoning rates.
And so right now, our current state is one where we are on the brink of change and change for the better. There will always be work to be done, but if you focus on the work that needs to be done instead of the solutions and the possibilities, you're always going to have that feeling of failure. We have to start speaking positivity into ourselves and to our city and understanding that greatness isn't achieved without some challenges. So right now we're just experiencing our challenge before our greatness.
For City Limits, I'm Katie Zolkowski.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.